Chapter 28, Statements on the Use of Drugs.
Introduction. Shortly after the organization of the General Conference of Seventh-day Adventists in May 1863, at a time when the church numbered 3,500 members, Ellen G. White received a vision calling the attention of Adventists to the importance of good health and the close relationship between physical well-being and spiritual experience. The light given touched a number of important phases of living, including diet, value of fresh air, the use of water, healthful attire, exercise, rest, etc. Prominent in this important revelation of June 6, 1863, was light concerning the harmful effects of the poisonous drugs that physicians so freely prescribed. In the subsequent years, the great basic health reform vision was followed by many visions opening up in more detail the principles and the application of principles that should guide in matters of retaining good health and the care of the sick, the call for medical institutions, and the manner in which Seventh-day Adventists should conduct such institutions. On these matters, Mrs. White wrote much. Her first comprehensive presentation appeared in 1864 in Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4, pages 120 to 151, in an article entitled Health. Mrs. White then expanded this 30-page statement into six separate articles for publication under the general title of Diseases and Its Causes. In 1865, these were embodied in the six numbered pamphlets compiled by Elder and Mrs. White, entitled Health or How to Live, one E.G. White article appearing in each number. From time to time over the next several decades, the various journals of the denomination carried articles by Mrs. White on the subject of health. In 1890, she presented a comprehensive picture of the health message in her first half of the book, Christian Temperance and Bible Hygiene. In 1905, she published The Ministry of Healing, her climaxing volume on the subject. This she intended for very wide distribution in America and overseas. In each of her general presentations on health, Mrs. White discussed poisonous drugs and their use in the treatment of the sick. This phase of the subject, prominent in the original health reform vision, filled 8 of the 30 pages of her initial Spiritual Gifts presentation. She devoted one entire article in The Disease and Its Causes series to the subject of drugs. Nor was Ellen White's voice alone at the time. There were certain physicians on both sides of the Atlantic who deplored the absence of adequate diagnosis and gravely questioned the use of many commonly prescribed poisonous drugs. As a result, gradual change took place in the treatment of the sick as regards the use of drugs. These changes have been most rapid and striking in the years following the first decade of the 20th century, when modern medical education, along with scientific and experimental lines, developed. In her earlier writings, particularly, Mrs. White made singularly strong statements concerning the physicians of the time and concerning the use of drugs. In order rightly to evaluate these, we must know something of the medical practices at the time the statements were made. Such a knowledge can be gained by examining the medical literature of those times and from reading the currently available Story of Our Health Message by D. E. Robinson, pages 13 to 27. In her books that deal specifically with the problems and work of the church and its members, Mrs. White devotes more space to the subject of health and the care of the sick than to any other one single topic. These counsels are spread before the general public in more than 2,000 pages of The Ministry of Healing, Medical Ministry, Counsels on Diet and Food, Counsels on Health and Temperance, and in articles in the Testimonies for the Church. The reader is directed to these sources for the full balanced picture of the health reform message. There have been assembled in this volume 4 chapters composed of statements drawn from various sources, some published and some unpublished, written mostly to medical personnel in connection with our institutions, which illustrate the way Mrs. White herself applied the principles revealed to her in vision. In her various utterances on the subject of the care of the sick, she ever held before us the ideal for which we should strive. At the same time, she recognized, as seen by the terminology used, that there were times and circumstances in special situations when it was justifiable and necessary to employ medications, even those known to be poisonous. It is significant that Ellen White gives us the assurance that Christ and the angels are present in the operating room, attending and guiding the consecrated Christian physician and performing surgical operations. Before major surgery, the entire body is saturated with a powerful and, in a sense, harmful drug to the point of complete unconsciousness and to complete insensibility. By the same token, after surgical procedures, the physician may find it necessary to administer sedatives that almost certainly includes drugs to give relief and prevent the patient from lapsing from sheer pain into a state of surgical shock and, in some instances, possible death. As they strive to know and follow God's will, not a few today are making inquiries similar to the one expressed in the words of a medical student who in 1893 wrote to Mrs. White to ask her about the use of drugs. In his letter he said, "From our study of the testimonies and the little work, How to Live, we can see that the Lord is strongly opposed to the use of drugs in our medical work. Several of the students are in doubt as to the meaning of the word drug as mentioned in How to Live. Does it refer only to the stronger medicines as mercury, strychnine, arsenic, and such poisons, the things we medical students call drugs, or does it also include the simpler remedies as potassium, iodine, squills, etc.? We know that our success will be proportionate to our adherence to God's method. For this reason, I have asked the above question." The first item in Chapter 28, which follows immediately, is Mrs. White's reply to the inquiry of that medical student, the White Trustees. A statement in answer to questions on drugs. Your questions, I will say, are answered largely, if not definitely, in How to Live. Drug poisons means the articles which you have mentioned. The simpler remedies are less harmful in proportion to their simplicity, but in very many cases these are used when not at all necessary. There are simple herbs and roots that every family may use for themselves and need not call a physician any sooner than they would call a lawyer. I do not think that I can give you any definite line of medicines compounded and dealt out by doctors that are perfectly harmless, and yet it would not be wisdom to engage in controversy over this subject. The practitioners are very much in earnest in using their dangerous concoctions, and I am decidedly opposed to resorting to such things. They never cure. They may change the difficulty to create a worse one. Many of those who practice the prescribing of drugs would not take the same or give them to their children. If they have an intelligent knowledge of the human body, if they understand the delicate, wonderful human machinery, they must know that we are fearfully and wonderfully made, and that not a particle of these strong drugs should be introduced into this human living organism. As the matter was laid open before me, and the sad burden of the result of drug medication, the light was given me that Seventh-day Adventists should establish health institutions discarding all these health-destroying inventions, and physicians should treat the sick upon hygienic principles. The great burden should be to have well-trained nurses and well-trained medical practitioners to educate precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Isaiah 28, verse 10. Train the people to correct habits and healthful practices, remembering that an ounce of prevention is of more value than a pound of cure. Lectures and studies in this line will prove of the highest value. Letter 17A, 1893. Other clarifying statements. Do they leave baleful influences behind? Nothing should be put into the human system that will leave a baleful influence behind. Medical Ministry, page 228, Manuscript 162, How to Conduct Sanitariums, 1897. The simplest remedies may assist nature and leave no baleful effects after their use. Letter 82, 1897, to Dr. J. H. Kellogg. Substances which poison the blood. In our sanitariums, we advocate the use of simple remedies. We discourage the use of drugs, for they poison the current of the blood. In these institutions, sensible instructions should be given how to eat, how to drink, how to dress, and how to live so that the health may be preserved. Councils on Diet and Foods, page 303. Sermon at Lodi, California, May 9, 1908. Do not endeavor to adjust the difficulties by adding a burden of poisonous medicines. Ministry of Healing, page 235, 1905. Every pernicious drug placed in the human stomach, whether by prescription of physicians or by man himself, doing violence to the human organism, injures the whole machinery. Manuscript 3, 1897, General Manuscript. Break down vital forces. Drugs always have a tendency to break down and destroy vital forces. Medical Ministry, page 223. General Manuscript entitled Sanitarium, 1887. Poisonous preparations which leave injurious effects. God's servants should not administer medicines which they know will leave behind injurious effects upon the system, even if they do relieve present suffering. Every poisonous preparation in the vegetable and mineral kingdoms taken into the system will leave its wretched influence, affecting the liver and lungs and deranging the system generally. Spiritual Gifts, Volume 4, page 140, 1864. Deadly After Effects of Poisonous Drugs. Nature's simple remedies will aid in recovery without leaving the deadly after effects so often felt by those who use poisonous drugs. They destroy the power of the patient to help himself. This power the patients are to be taught to exercise by learning to eat simple, healthful foods, by refusing to overload the stomach with a variety of foods at one meal. All these things should come into the education of the sick. Talks should be given showing how to preserve health, how to shun sickness, how to rest when rest is needed. Letter 82, 1908, to physicians and manager at Loma Linda. Counsels on the administration of drugs. Seldom needed, use them less and less. Drug medication, as it is generally practiced, is a curse. Educate away from drugs. Use them less and less and depend more upon hygienic agencies. Then nature will respond to God's physicians. Pure air, pure water, proper exercise, a clear conscience. Those who persist in the use of tea, coffee, and flesh meats will feel the need of drugs, but many might recover without one grain of medicine if they would obey the laws of health. Drugs need seldom be used. Councils on Health, page 261, 1890. In harmony with these words was Mrs. White's counsel when asked concerning the use of quinine in the treatment of malaria. Her son, who traveled with her and assisted her, reports the following. While we were in Australia, a brother who had been acting as a missionary in the islands told mother of the sickness and death of his firstborn son. He was seriously afflicted with malaria, and his father was advised to give him quinine, but in view of the counsel and the testimonies to avoid the use of quinine, he refused to administer it, and his son died. When he met Sister White, he asked her this question. Would I have sinned to give the boy quinine when I knew of no other way to check malaria and when the prospect was that he would die without it? In reply, she said, No, we are expected to do the best we can. W.C. White Letter, September 10, 1935. The Compilers. Seek to lessen their use. In their practice, the physician should seek more and more to lessen the use of drugs instead of increasing it. When Dr. A. came to the health retreat, she laid aside her knowledge and practice of hygiene and administered the little homeopathic doses for almost every ailment. This was against the light God had given. Thus our people, who had been taught to avoid drugs in almost every form, were receiving a different education. Letter 26A, 1889, to a prominent physician in institutional work. Strong drugs need not be used. The first labors of a physician should be to educate the sick and suffering in the very course they should pursue to prevent disease. The greatest good can be done by our trying to enlighten the minds of all we can obtain access to as to the best course for them to pursue to prevent sickness and suffering and broken constitutions and premature death. But those who do not care to undertake work that taxes their physical and mental powers will be ready to prescribe drug medication, which lays a foundation in the human organism for a twofold greater evil than that which they claim to have relieved. A physician who has the moral courage to imperil his reputation in enlightening the understanding by plain facts, in showing the nature of disease and how to prevent it, and the dangerous practice of resorting to drugs, will have an uphill business, but he will live and let live. He will, if a reformer, talk plainly in regard to the false appetites and ruinous self-indulgence in dressing, in eating and drinking, in overtaxing to do a large amount of work in a given time, which has a ruinous influence upon the temper, the physical and mental powers. Right and correct habits, intelligently and perseveringly practiced, will be removing the cause for the disease, and the strong drugs need not be resorted to. Many go on from step to step with their unnatural indulgences, which is bringing in just as unnatural a condition of things as possible. Medical Ministry, page 221 and 222, General Manuscript entitled Sanitariums, 1887. As it is generally practiced, drug medication, as it is generally practiced, is a curse. Healthful Living, page 246, 1888. Less dangerous if wisely administered. Do not administer drugs. True, drugs may not be as dangerous wisely administered as they usually are, but in the hands of many they will be hurtful to the Lord's property. Letter 3, 1884, to workers at St. Helena at Sanitarium. Discarding almost entirely. Our institutions are established that the sick may be treated by hygienic methods, discarding almost entirely the use of drugs. There is a terrible account to be rendered to God by men who have so little regard for human life as to treat the body so ruthlessly in dealing out their drugs. We are not excusable if through ignorance we destroy God's building by taking into our stomachs poisonous drugs under a variety of names we do not understand. It is our duty to refuse all such prescriptions. We wish to build a sanitarium in Australia where maladies may be cured by nature's own provisions, and where the people may be taught how to treat themselves when sick, where they will learn to eat temperately of wholesome food and be educated to refuse all narcotics, tea, coffee, fermented wines, and stimulants of all kinds, and to discard the flesh of dead animals. Temperance, pages 88 and 89, General Manuscript, 1896. The ideal, finally cease to deal out drugs. When you understand physiology in its truest sense, your drug bills will be very much smaller, and finally, you will cease to deal out drugs at all. The physician who depends upon drug medication in his practice shows that he does not understand the delicate machinery of the human organism. He is introducing into the system a seed crop that will never lose its destroying properties throughout the lifetime. I tell you this because I dare not withhold it. Christ paid too much for man's redemption to have his body so ruthlessly treated as it has been by drug medication. Years ago, the Lord revealed to me that institutions should be established for treating the sick without drugs. Man is God's property, and the ruin that has been made of the living habitation, the suffering caused by the seeds of death sown in the human system, are an offense to God. Medical Ministry, page 229, to a leading physician and his wife, 1896. The Divine Presence in the Operating Room. The assurances of this chapter will remove any question as to the propriety of surgery with its attendant anesthetic. Christ in the operating room. Before performing a critical operation, let the physician ask for the aid of the great physician. Let him assure the suffering one that God can bring him safely through the ordeal, that in all times of distress he is a sure refuge for those who trust in him. Ministry of Healing, page 118, 1905. The Savior is present in the sick room, in the operating room, and his power for his name's glory accomplishes great things. Manuscript 159, 1899. Manuscript, The Privileges and Duties of a Christian Physician. Surgery, not a denial of faith. It is our privilege to use every God-appointed means in correspondence with our faith, and then trust in God when we have urged the promise. If there is need of a surgical operation and the physician is willing to undertake the case, it is not a denial of faith to have the operation performed. After the patient has committed his will to the will of God, let him trust, drawing nigh to the great physician, the mighty healer, and giving himself up to perfect trust. The Lord will honor his faith in the very manner he sees is for his own name's glory. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee, because he trusteth in thee. Trust ye in the Lord forever, for in the Lord Jehovah is everlasting strength. Isaiah 26, verses 3 and 4. Manuscript 67, 1899. General Manuscript. Jesus guided your hands. Who has been by your side as you have performed these critical operations? Who has kept you calm and self-possessed in the crisis, giving you quick, sharp discernment, clear eyesight, steady nerves, and a skillful precision? The Lord Jesus has sent his angel to your side to tell you what to do. A hand has been laid upon your hand. Jesus, and not you, has guided the movements of your instrument. At times you have realized this, and a wonderful calmness has come over you. You dared not hurry, and yet you worked rapidly, knowing that there was not a moment to lose. The Lord has greatly blessed you. Testimonies, Volume 8, pages 187 and 188. To the Medical Superintendent of the Battle Creek Sanitarium, 1899. As you looked to God in your critical operations, angels of God were standing by your side, and their hands were seen as your hand performing the work with an accuracy that make the beholders surprised. Letter 73, 1899. To the physician addressed in the preceding item. The Divine Watcher by the side of the physician. Christ is the greatest medical missionary that ever lived. He never lost a case. He understands how to give strength and guidance to the physicians in this institution. He stands beside them as they perform their difficult surgical operations. We know that this is so. He has saved lives that might have been lost had the knife swerved a hair's breadth. Angels of God are constantly ministering to those for whom Christ has given his life. God gives the physicians of this institution skill and efficiency because they are serving him. They know that their skill is not their own, that it comes from above. They realize that there is beside them a divine watcher who gives wisdom to his physicians, enabling them to move intelligently in their work. Manuscript 28, 1901. Words addressed to the workers at the St. Helena Sanitarium.